today I think I'm going to, and I don't know why, but it's kind of on my heart, I may approach this scripture a little bit differently today. And maybe have a little bit of question and answer type and let you talk a little bit. And get some of your ideas. And just kind of have a little bit of a conversation about the message that we're going to hear from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. And I'm going to read it from the New Revised Standard Version. And then I'll also read it from the King James as well. Because I think there's a message to be had as we hear it presented different ways. But John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You will also live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Those who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. And then reading from the King James Version, from chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, let me ask this question. When we hear the words comforter, when we hear the words advocate, or if we hear the word counselor, what is it that comes to mind when we hear those words? Comforter, advocate, counselor. If you want to answer, you can. If not, then I'll throw it out there. I'm thinking Holy Spirit. I'm thinking Holy Spirit. And we have some challenges sometime, I believe, with coming to terms about what the Holy Spirit means. And this is where we kind of get into a little bit of a theological discussion. But the Trinity, the eternal Triune, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How do we come to terms with that and understanding what that means? That three separate people? Three separate things? In the beginning, there was who? Who was in the beginning? God. God was in the beginning. What comes next? Jesus. But if we read back to Genesis, we see that Jesus was with the Father in the beginning, right? So we've got God the Father. We've got the Son, who is Jesus Christ. And then we have the Holy Spirit, which is a manifestation of what? Of who? The Father and the Son. Now, it's easy for us as human beings to try to put things into some kind of perspective about what, I guess, chronological sequence, if you will, about, okay, God was here, and this was God's reign, and then Jesus came, and this was his reign, and then Jesus ascended into heaven and left, and then the Holy Spirit came. But it's important to remember
that they're interconnected with each other. God as the Father, God as the Son, God as the Holy Spirit. Because in the beginning there was God. God created all things. And Jesus was with God at that point. But then the presentation of Jesus Christ to the world and when he was born on that Christmas day was the revelation or the epiphany of God into the world. God was presented into the world as the living Word of God, Jesus Christ. And then as we move into Lent, and we see what happened with Jesus. Jesus was born in the world, started his ministry about the age of 30, lived until about the age of 33, and then was crucified, taken on the sin of mankind, died, was buried, ascended into heaven, and then we know what happened on the Pentecost. And in the scripture we read today is a prophecy of what's to happen on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit descended upon all mankind. So God was still with us. We read these scriptures from the Gospel of John this morning. And what Jesus is doing is he's addressing the human concerns of these disciples. If you think about it, these disciples have been following Jesus in his ministry for about 3 years now. These are the same disciples that Jesus walked up to on the lakeshore and said, stop what you're doing and follow me. Put your nets down. Do this. Do that. Look at what you're doing and follow me. These are the same disciples that have witnessed him perform these miracles. The same disciples that have saw him do things that were otherwise impossible. So these disciples that are walking with Jesus have a very tangible view of what Jesus Christ is. Because they have saw him, or seen him, or something, whatever. They've been with him, and he's done these wonderful things. So they know he's there. But now Jesus is saying, my time is near. It's about over with. My time is coming short. Very soon I will leave you, and I will be with you no more in a physical presence, in a physical sense. But I will speak to my Father, God, and tell him to send you a comforter, an advocate, or a counselor, depending on which translation you read. The King James, we heard, sending the comforter. The New Revised Version refers to that as an advocate, and then the New Living Translation talks about that being a counselor. But I will send somebody to be with you, or send something to be with you. And that's the Holy Spirit. So when you think about what message these disciples are receiving right now, they're basically saying, oh, you know what? Jesus is not going to be with me in a physical sense in the near future, but he will be with me in another sense. No worries, I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you without any direction. But in a little while, the world will no longer see me. I won't be here physically. But those who believe in the Father, those who believe in the Son, will have that Spirit, that Holy Spirit, that comforter, that advocate, that counselor, in their hearts to continue to lead them and guide them. And who are those people? It's those people who believe, those people who have the commandments in their heart, and they seek to obey those commandments. And as such, he sums it up by saying that those who love me, those who love me will also be loved by my Father, and I will love them, and I will reveal myself to them. So the Holy Spirit will be upon those who believe. Though we may not be able to see that Spirit, the Holy Spirit is with us. So who is with us? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that can be a difficult thing to wrap your mind around when you're trying to put things into perspective as human beings. Because when we're growing up in Bible school, we're growing up in church, if we're told to identify who God is, when we say God is the Father of all mankind, the Father of Jesus, and try to put it into perspective as that. And then we try to separate Jesus out. And there's a place Jesus can be separated out. And in the end, is what we call either the Trinity or the Eternal Triune. And that's where theology can get a little difficult sometimes when we try to explain things. And that's that word that's kind of, I think, is a cuss word to some point when we try to reconcile God with this world and try to make God fit into this world. And if you remember, we've said this over and over. If we can explain it fully, then what is it not? If we can explain everything about it, then we know it's not God. If I can tell you exactly how the resurrection occurred, other than what I read in the scriptures and I pray about, then, and if I've got to explain it scientifically and I've got an answer for how it occurred, then it ain't God. If I've got a full answer about how God caused this or that or whatever to happen in the beginning of creation, then it's not God. And if I've got a full answer about how God has caused a miracle to occur, then it's not God. Because we will never fully understand the awesome power of God other than saying, God is our God. God can do things because He is God. God can do things for us, not because we deserve it, but because God loves us more than we will ever imagine. How many of us in here would be willing to look at complete strangers down the road and say, I'm going to send my child to be sacrificed so that those people can live? How many people would be willing to die for complete strangers that are probably some people that we don't think highly of, to sacrifice our lives for them? But our God loved us so much, and our Jesus, our Savior, cared for us so much. That's exactly what they did. But we can't see them now. We can't see them now because they're not with us in physical sense anymore. We can't see them. But what we do know is they're with us. And that's those matters of faith that we talk about. Faith is believing in those things that we can't see. Faith is believing in those things that we can't see, but we know that they're there because it's been put on our hearts. During this Lenten journey that we're preparing to begin, this is about a matter of faith. Where have we changed because we accepted Jesus Christ in our heart? Where have we changed when we put on that new clothing of righteousness that we accept at baptism? And we've agreed to go forth and do not the things that we've done in our past that got us into this mess to start out with, but we decided to go forth and make that conscious decision to live in the light of Jesus Christ. It's about that self-examination. The Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. It was last week we were talking about reality life and reality life, not reality TV. We talked about some of the junk that we were putting into our minds and some of the things that we were accepting as normal. I had mentioned that reality TV was about depicting some fashion or resemblance of life that is supposedly to be acceptable in our world today. And I'm sorry, Desperate Housewives and Wife Swap and all the others that I named off last week, that's not my normal life. And I don't think it's the normal life that any of us desire. But we were reminded last week in the Gospel that our bodies are temples. That our bodies are temples of God. And I'd also say that was not an excuse to never go to church either, because that's not what that scripture means, but a lot of people will claim that scripture and say, I don't have to go to church because of it. Because God wants us to be in community, He wants us to be part of the body, a living, breathing, active part of the body of Christ. But what that scripture means is that we are to treat our bodies as a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. So it kind of goes back to you mothers in here. Your mother's love goes with you wherever you go, so please don't take it where it shouldn't go. I know I heard that over and over when I was growing up, and the same thing with the Father. The Holy Spirit's the same way. We can pretend, I can go over here in this room and do things that I don't want you all to know about. But who knows that? I know that. God knows that. So I might be back here being one of those creatures that you read about, that I know stuff that I'm not supposed supposed to do, and I'm keeping it from my congregation, but I'm not keeping it from God. But as a messenger, and it's not just me, and I'm a preacher, but we're all preachers, we're all ministers of the gospel. As a minister of the gospel, as a place where the Holy Spirit is supposed to dwell, and that's what we're reading here, and we'll read more about it on the day of Pentecost, is a place where the Holy Spirit is supposed to dwell. We're supposed to prepare our bodies as a temple of the living God, as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit dwells in our heart. It put that fire in our hearts on the day of Pentecost. Remember, the Holy Spirit descends upon all those that were gathered with winds and tongues of flame, tongues of fire, and put that fire in our heart to go forth and tell the gospel. But if we won't, Jesus to live in our heart. We want God to live in our hearts. If we want the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, then we have to prepare our bodies to be that temple of God. We have to treat our bodies with respect and not worry about putting things in our bodies that are inappropriate. We have to treat our bodies with respect and not to worry about conforming to the values and the customs and the models of this world. But rather, we have to be conformed to the Word of God so that the Holy Spirit has a place to live. I have been in places and have saw churches where I wondered where the Holy Spirit was. It was all about ceremony and custom. Who did this or who did that or who got the recognition? I'm sorry, that's not what God intends, and that's not a place for the Holy Spirit to live. If you go into a room without oxygen, are you going to stay there long? If you don't get out quick enough, what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. I've seen churches that were just like that. That just sucks the life out of you and you go into them. Is that the kind of church we want to be? And I'm not saying that y'all. Amen. But there are places that I've been, and people call themselves Christians. There are people that I've seen that call themselves Christians, and you're around them for 5 minutes, and you realize, whoa, they're all about themselves. They're all about being recognized, and the fame, and the stuff that goes along with being somebody important in church. And that's not a place that is conducive to living, especially for the Holy Spirit. So there are places. I think there are people that are spiritually dead. I think there are churches that are spiritually dead. And today what we talked about is the Holy Spirit and how we help the Holy Spirit thrive in our own lives. Jesus is addressing the concerns of the disciples that are worried about what's going to happen when he's not there. He said, you're good. Those that have my commandments in their heart, those that believe in me, those that live in me, then I will live in also. That's what the Holy Spirit is about. Can I draw a picture of the Holy Spirit? No. Can you draw a picture of Jesus? Now, we've all got a picture in our mind, don't we? We've all got those common pictures that we've seen as kids growing up. Here's one of the pictures here. How do we know? We didn't see him. But what are these pictures left for us? But this is the common image that we have of Jesus. We can't put that real picture on him. Can't put a picture on God. Nobody's ever seen God. People have heard his voice. Or has anybody ever seen God? Anybody ever seen God? Or did we people not see God in the image of Jesus Christ in this world? Whether or not that's the image of Jesus, I don't know. But what I know is that I still believe even though I can't see. And that's what faith is about, is believing what we can't see. The time that we spend in the Word of God, the time that we spend in the Word of God, helps us to see God. Not in a visual sense, but to see God with our hearts and to experience the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. We trust, we believe, we have faith. But we have to continue to nurture that faith. We have to continue to prepared, if you will, think about planting season, for the Holy Spirit to drive our hearts and things that we need to do. And if we quit praying, if we quit going to church, if we quit believing, if we think miracles on the head, if we have negative connotations of the Scriptures all the time, then that's not a place that's nutrient-rich, if you will, for the Holy Spirit to dwell. Today, brothers and sisters, I just remind you that the Holy Spirit desires to live well in each one of us, and desires to live in this church, desires to live in our families, and desires to be that prevailing force in all those places we go. But we have that responsibility to prepare our hearts to receive that Spirit. Would you like to say anything? Share anything? Share testimony? Share what you know about the Holy Spirit. Or to challenge me on some of the things that I said, because theology is a difficult conversation. It's a difficult thing to recognize in a lot of times.
I
think
the Holy Spirit's
kind of
like the wind.
You feel it. There you go. You feel it. The Holy Spirit is like the wind. You think about on the day of Pentecost. That's what? There's a rush of wind and flames and tons of fire. And do I really believe those fires that descend on people? Absolutely not. But that wind that they felt, and then that sudden excitement that they felt in their heart, that's a ton of fire. You can feel it, you can see it. Other thoughts? Can you feel free? And you can tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm giving that to you because I can't explain it. It's God. Spent a lot of time studying, but I can't necessarily explain it.
Well, that's the best explanation there is. It's God.
Amen.
You can't think nobody else.
Amen.
And I believe God is around, that Jesus Christ is coming here, and the Holy Spirit is within us all.
Amen.
Especially when I pray, just in that field. And you say things that you never thought you would.
Amen. Tongues. You can talk to God, but Satan don't know what you're saying. So they can't do that. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, today we submit ourselves before you. We don't always have the answers. We can't always explain things. And you know the burdens that we face as we go about life. Lord, what we say to you today is that we're willing to be in complete submission as we prepare a place for the Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts and to dwell in this church and to dwell just in our lives together. Lord, use us. Use us as your disciples. We desire to be like these disciples that we've heard about in your gospel this morning. We have those questions about what we will do. Lord, just help us to remember your promise that with Jesus leaving, that if we just dwell in your commandments and we believe in you, then you will also live in us. If we live in you, you will live in us. And that with you at our side, we can face any burden or any challenge we have in our life. Help us to feel that fire in our hearts that not only do we believe, but we want to share what it is that you've done so that others too will have that same feeling. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.